Well, good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in for worship today. We're so glad that you could join us. My name is Jason. I'm one of the elders here at the Grove Bible Chapel in Tampa. It's such a privilege to be with you today. Pastor Kurt has been very kind in extending to me an invitation to open up God's Word with you. And that's certainly a privilege that I cherish and I am greatly appreciative of. In case we haven't met, I also have the joy of serving at the Grove Bible Chapel in Tampa. In Orlando. I'm one of the pastors there. And today we are going to be opening up God's Word to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And so if you have a Bible, why don't you go ahead and turn there with me now. This is such a great, great passage. I love this section of Scripture. It may be familiar to you. Kids love this passage because they can relate to Samuel as a young boy. And kids also love the repetition, and so they love the part about God calling Samuel several different times and Samuel thinking it was actually Eli. And this is such a great, fantastic passage for adults as well. So much we can learn today as it relates to hearing from God. And so while you're turning there, 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to be covering the whole chapter today. While you're turning there, I just want to say one of the things that I look forward to each week is receiving your prayer requests. And so as one of your elders, I have the privilege of reading through them each week, praying through them. And I got to tell you, it is such a privilege and something that I look forward to each and every week. What a blessing it is. And I just want to commend you, church family. What a joy it is to see that you guys, so many of you, prioritize spiritual matters over just simple physical asks or physical requests in your prayers. And many of you ask for spiritual things. And that is such a joy, such an encouragement to read those, and especially to pray about. And so even just this week, let me just share a few examples as a way to encourage you guys to keep up the good work. This week we had one request, pray that I would draw closer to Jesus. And so you want me to pray for that? Absolutely. What a great prayer request. Here's another one. Please pray for meaningful spiritual conversations with family during their upcoming visit. How great is that? Here's another. Please pray that my neighbor would come to our Bible study. That's awesome. Pray for her heart to be open to the gospel. That's awesome. And then this one, pray for God's work in correcting my selfishness as a motive for my faith. All right, so touching, so transparent. We appreciate that so much. Here's another one. Pray for the gospel to advance and for fathers to point their families to Christ, for our love to abound to one another, and for our lives to display wisdom and that God would be glorified. That is awesome. All right, we love that. Spiritual prayer requests. Those are great. And then lastly, here's one more I'll share with you. Please ask the Lord to increase my confidence that He will sustain me during this time. All right, that is so good. It's so tempting to pray, Lord, I just pray that I would have more money and that You would send the check in the mail and that I could make ends meet. But I love their prayer requests, spiritual in nature. Pray that the Lord would increase my confidence that He will sustain me in this time. All right, that is so good. And I just really want to thank Pastor Kurt for his leadership in these matters. I love how he places value on spiritual things. And you guys are getting it. And I love how Pastor Dan, Pastor Kevin are so good in regards to this, providing so much encouragement with these matters. What a fantastic team. And you guys are blessed as a church. You know this. Keep it up. Such a privilege to pray for you with these things. Physical, yes, but spiritual, so much greater, so much richer. And so as we get into this now, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 and following, let me set things up for you this way, all right? And so if you've been like me during the last, is it several months now? We've had so many conference calls, so many video calls, so many audio calls, Zoom, and different modes of communication. here's something that matters greatly in kind of this new world. It's the strength of the signal, and it's the durability of that Wi-Fi connection. It's really proven essential, hasn't it? And I can't tell you how many times I've been on a call or on a video chat, and somebody's line dropped, or perhaps the video feed, it froze. And the simple question is, why does that happen? Well, the answer, and I think we all know it, is their signal strength is poor, all right? And so here's a question for us as we get into this today. How good is your signal strength as it relates to you hearing from God, all right? That's the question today. How about that? Do you have an open line of communication with the Lord this morning, or are there dead spots? Or how about this? If you were to rate your communication with God, how many signal bars would you give it? All right, that's the question. And so you see in our passage today, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and following, this marks a transition from the time when Israel was not hearing from God to a time when God's word came freely. And the difference came about when God calls Samuel as a prophet. And so we're going to take a look at that passage together. Before we do, allow me just to pray, and then we'll get to work. Father in heaven, want to thank you for being a good God that speaks, and we thank you that we can know you through your word. And God, I want to thank you. It's really a privilege that each of us, that we have access to your word, and that we can have a copy of your scriptures in our hands, in our own language, so that we can read it and understand it and make sense of it. What a gift, what a privilege, what a joy, what a treasure. And today as we read through this familiar passage, I ask that you would teach us the value of words that you have given us. We ask your blessing on this time as we read and study your scripture now. We want to hear from you, God, and we really do want to hear and listen, and this is our prayer in Jesus' good name. Amen? Amen. And so I have a big idea. If you're like me, maybe you like to take notes. My big idea today is this, and it's really a question. And the question is, do I have a here I am attitude? All right, do you have a here I am attitude? And so my first point, it really comes out of the first few verses there. The point is this: nothing is worse than not hearing from God. Nothing is worse than that. Nothing is worse than not hearing from God. That's my first point. And look there at verse 1. The whole account actually begins with God not speaking. Notice there, now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And we're kind of familiar with, that's kind of how we would pronounce Eli. I think it's more accurately, it'd be Eli. And so maybe you're wondering, Jason, I'm not too familiar with this passage, with this account. What's taking place within the context? Well, 1 Samuel chapter 1 begins with a story of an ordinary Israelite family during the period of the judges. And so through one woman's faith, and really through her grief, you have the birth of Samuel, who is God's answer to the prayer of a childless woman. Her name is Hannah. And the birth of Samuel is also an answer to Israel's need for a prophet who will give God's people guidance in their transition from the period of judges to the period of the kings. And so by the end of 1 Samuel chapter 1, Samuel's probably just a few years old. He's just a young boy. And Samuel's mom and dad, their names were Hannah and Elkanah. They take him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. You probably know about this. And there they actually leave this young boy with Eli. And so Samuel is with Eli the priest. And in chapter 2, we find out that he's left there in really a place of sin and rebellion. And we see this with Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And though Eli rebukes his two sons, an unknown prophet actually comes in chapter 2 and pronounces a word of judgment upon Eli's house, and in particular his two sons, because of their sin and rebellion. And so with all of that in view, we now enter into chapter 3. Now notice they're halfway through verse 1. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. And I would just say it's important to understand that this is a time in Israel's history when Israel was out of communication with God. Yes, there was an occasional prophet, such as the one that we see in chapter 2, who came to Eli. But by and large, there was no prophetic voice from God to Israel. And this, of course, is not a good thing. Not a good thing at all. In fact, the Bible addresses this in many different locations. For example, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, it says there that where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And this refers to prophetic vision, where revelation comes as the word of God. In other words, when we do not hear from God, when we do not hear from Him, society tends to go from bad to worse. In fact, you can just simply read through the book of Judges, and you're going to see this common theme over and over and over again. And in fact, that's even holds true in our world today. And you can see how true that statement is. We need God's word to guide us. We need God's word to direct us. We need God's word to keep us on the straight path. Amen? I'm telling you, there's nothing worse than not hearing from God. And so when the word of God is neglected, for example, Judges chapter 2, verse 1 through 19, it says there, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And that, of course, is a very big problem. And so let me put it this way. One of the many gifts that God has given us, and God has been very good. He's been very generous, gifted us in so many ways. One of these gifts of grace is our five basic senses. You know what they are. Sight, hearing, smell, taste, touch. Gifts from God to most of us. Many of us have all five or at least several of these gifts. I mean, just think about how your life would be challenged if you were to not have one of these senses. For example, hearing. I was looking it up this week. I found many different accounts. Maybe some of us know people that are hearing impaired or perhaps deaf. A lot of times, people that are hearing impaired, they express how lonely and how isolated they feel. Just imagine stone cold silence all day, every day, all night, every night. It's hard to imagine, but imagine not being able to hear nothing, no familiar voices. Imagine that. Imagine no children laughing. I know for me, I am blessed with three little children. I love hearing their little laugh. I love to make them laugh just so that I can hear them laugh. I can't imagine not hearing that. Imagine no music to enjoy. Imagine not listening to worship. Imagine no birds chirping. Imagine going to the beach there in Clearwater or Largo or St. Pete's and not hearing the waves sort of lap on the beach. Imagine that. Nothing. Stone cold silence all day, every day. Nothing but nothing. All right? That would be so challenging. And so how much more so in the spiritual sense? It's the same, only worse. In our passage today, we're seeing that nothing is worse than not hearing from God. And that's exactly what it was like for the people of Israel. The word of God was rare in those days. And so in light of that, let me just share with you three things that it's really important for all of us to understand as it relates to hearing from God. Number one, God desires to speak to us. All right, you got to know that. That's important. He really does. God desires to speak to us. God did not just kind of create the world and then walk away. He did not do that. God desires to speak to us. And even more than that, God desires to have a relationship with us. He wants that. He desires that. And in pursuit of this, God takes the initiative to make himself known. He reveals himself to us so that we can know him. We just need to learn to listen. All right, so God desires to speak to us. Number two, God speaks to us primarily through his word. All right, that's very important. He does. That's how he primarily speaks. God rarely speaks directly with his voice to people. Even in the Bible, God rarely spoke directly to individuals. In today's passage, Samuel is definitely the exception, not the rule, because Samuel actually hears the voice of the Lord. Incredible. Most people in the Bible receive God's word through a prophet attested by God. Today, we primarily receive God's word through the Bible, which is God's written word given to men. I've often heard it said that we speak to God in prayer. All right, that's how we speak to God. We speak to God in prayer, but that God speaks to us most clearly through his word. And lastly, number three, God has spoken to us through Jesus Christ. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 1. It says this: in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And so, do you want to know who God is? Look to Jesus. Do you want to hear from God? Then look to Jesus and his word. The Old Testament prophets looked forward to Christ, and all of the scriptures are fulfilled in him. When God sent Jesus, he made it possible for our spiritually deaf ears to hear. And so now back to Samuel. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Now just look. Look at there in verse 2. God is about to change all of that. And it happened, verse 2, at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see very well. It says, verse 3, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel, he was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And these details are so rich. Remember, Eli is an old man. He's nearly blind at this time. He has at least two grown children that are men serving as priests with him in the house of God. In chapter 3 here, we find out that his fading eyesight, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think is highly symbolic of this time in Israel when the word of God was rare and there were not very many visions. And though the word of God was rare, it was, God has not given up on his people. And so the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And this was the situation that Samuel was called into. And so let's move on. My first point this morning, once again, is that nothing is worse than not hearing from God. Now here's the second point. Number two, nothing is better. Nothing is better than discerning God's word. And so notice there, Samuel's lying down in the temple where the ark of the Lord was. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel and he said to him, do you see what Samuel said? He said, here I am. And so Samuel hears a voice. It's the voice of God. But Samuel doesn't know it's the voice of God. And God actually calls Samuel by name. Then verse 5, then he ran to Eli. You can almost imagine young Samuel running down the hall. Eli, Eli. And he said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli's like, I didn't call you. Go lie down. And so he went and laid down. And so this is such a great scene. I love this scene. You can almost imagine the young boy. He's alert. He's responsive. He hears what he thinks of Eli calling him. And so he runs down the hall. You called me. And Eli said, it wasn't me. Go back to bed. Verse 6, and the Lord called again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli. And he said, Eli, Eli, here I am. You called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Go and lie down. And so the beauty of this passage is we know who's calling Samuel. It's the Lord. It's God. He's calling him. But Eli doesn't get it. And so this is an example, I believe, of Eli's spiritual sluggishness. And if you read through chapter 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel, you'll see that Eli's just he's a little sluggish as it relates to spiritual matters. So Eli doesn't get it. And that explains Eli. He's a little bit, I believe, spiritually sluggish. But what about Samuel? Like how doesn't he know it's the actual voice of God? Why doesn't he know? Like, you would think if you heard the Lord that you would know. Like, that's got to be God's voice. But he doesn't know. And we find out why in verse 7. Do you guys see it there? Do you see it? Now Samuel, do you see it? Do you see it? he did not know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. Isn't that something? Samuel did not know the Lord in a personal way. But of course, he certainly knew about him, but he did not know him. And so some of you listening today, I just want that to sort of rest on you for a moment. Maybe like Samuel, you know a lot of truths about God. You have a lot of information about God. I think of our students. I think of our children, maybe even right now, kids, as you're listening to this. Maybe you have information. Maybe you know some songs about Jesus. But do you really know him in a personal way? Do you really know him? You know, as you're sitting in your homes or wherever you are today, I want to ask you, do you understand the difference between, we could call it religion. Do you know the difference between religion and a relationship with God? Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference? Let me explain. Religion. Religion is a form of godliness, but it denies, there's no power in it. It's familiarity about God. It's a focus on the externals. It's the stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. I know how to behave. I know how to act. I know how to do the right things. When somebody asks, are you a Christian? You answer, well, I go to church on Sunday. All right? So, yeah, that's religion. It's religion. Relationship, on the other hand, it begins when we are born again. A relationship with God requires faith. It's obedience. It's turning from our sin. It's embracing Jesus Christ by faith. It's love. It's affection. It's obedience. It's following the Lord. It's kind of all of it together. It's God speaking to us through his word and we delighting in that and cherishing that walk with him. That's a relationship. And so for this relationship to be born, it means that we must be born again. Jason, how does that happen? Well, it's simply, you know, it's kind of coming to that point where we are understanding the information about God. You know, we've been taught some things about Jesus. We understand the truth. We're starting to understand the truths of God's word. And it's us with that information. It's simply admitting, you know what, I fall short. And I'm starting to understand now that I'm a sinner by nature and I'm a sinner by choice. And sin is what I do. I fall short of God's holy and righteous standard. And so I'm putting forth my belief on Jesus. Jesus, he lived a perfect life and I couldn't do what he did. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus conquered death for my salvation. And so I'm repenting of my sin. I'm turning to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And I'm confessing him as Lord. I'm kind of forsaking that life and now I'm pursuing him and Jesus, make me more like you. And it's a relationship with the Lord. And that's what we're talking about today. It's heartfelt. It's heartfelt. That's the difference from religion. And so what we're seeing now in our passage, Samuel knew a lot of truths about God, but he did not yet know the Lord. All right? Notice there verse 8. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Can you imagine this back and forth, back and forth? And then Eli discerned. Do you guys see it? Eli finally got it. It was the Lord calling the boy. You know, there's something that really stands out to me, and I think it's a great example to follow. And it's really, we see it in the young boy, Samuel. I love his willingness to help out. I love his willingness to assist. I love his willingness to support. At this point, Samuel's just a young boy, but and if it were me, I'd be starting to wonder, I mean, does he have dementia maybe? I mean, man, this guy's really forgetful, and how many times am I going to have to go back and forth, and he just kind of keeps forgetting that he's calling out to me. I guess he's in his sleep. I don't know what's going on here, and there's no frustration. Samuel's not put out by this at all. We really get a glimpse into his heart attitude, all right? What he thinks is, Eli's calling me. How can I be of help? How can I be of service? I just want to be there for this old man. What can I do? How can I help? And Samuel keeps showing up. He's right there to help Eli with whatever he needs. No hint of frustration. No hint of fatigue. He's just there. How can I serve? How can I help? What can I do? That church family is a great example to follow. Talk about a great heart attitude. Talk about faithfulness. Talk about a great, Lord, help us to be more like this young boy in the sense of our willingness to be there, to show up, and to not get fatigued by that. And then finally, everything starts to make sense. And at the end of verse 8, it says, then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Remember, Eli, he's not all bad. All right, not perfect at all, but he's not all bad. Eli did bless Hannah in the temple, and God honored that blessing. Eli also did rebuke his sons in chapter 2, even though it was too little, too late. To me as a dad, as I've already said, to me, Eli just seems a little bit sluggish as it relates to spiritual things. And maybe this is a timely reminder, dads. All right, there's a great cost associated when you and me are preoccupied or sluggish and not attentive, especially to spiritual things. You see what happens, you can kind of see it. You see the consequence of that in our passage here today. What happens in a sluggishness in our relationship with the Lord or with our children. Do you guys see what's at stake? I'm telling you, the stakes are high. Notice the very next verse, verse 9. Then Eli said to Samuel, here's what you're going to do, Samuel. Go down, go back to your bed, lay down, and if he calls you, here's what I want you to say. I want you to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And what does Samuel do? It says that Samuel went and he laid down in his place. All right, once again, we get a glimpse into Samuel's heart. He's like, of course, Eli, I'm going to do what you say. And we see his humility, we see his willingness to listen. And this is so great. And so we see his heart and we see his heart attitude in response to God's word and God's calling. And what I love about this is that it's not our ability that God is after. Isn't that a relief? It's simply our availability that God is pursuing this morning. It's not our abilities that God is after. It's our availability. Maybe that's a word for you today. All right. God is looking for men and women and students and kids and children. God is looking for people who are available to Him and to His purposes. And so this morning I would simply ask you, do you have a willing heart? Are you available to the voice of the Lord today? Our job, here it is. Our job is to be willing. Our job is to be attentive. Our job is to be available. That's what we see here in verse 9. Then verse 10, then the Lord came and he stood. He comes and he's standing now. Can you imagine this? My goodness. And he called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel gets it right and he says, speak, for your servant is listening. That simple sentence, 6 words long, I assure you, can change your life. That's such a great prayer to pray anytime you want to hear from God. Do you see it there? Underline it. Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. 6 words that could change your life. I love that. It explains his desire to hear. It communicates his willingness and his attentiveness and his availability. I love that. I would recommend that right there is something you should pray before every sermon you listen to. I would invite you to pray that every morning or afternoon or evening when you open up God's Word, that we would be saying, speak, O Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. That simple 6-word sentence, I'm telling you, it takes so much faith. But if we have that same availability is what we see in Samuel, my goodness, it can change your life. Nothing is better than discerning God's word. And so right now, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to invite you to make this personal, all right? I invite you to make this personal for yourself. Would you do that? Let's make this personal, all right? Let's take this truth to heart. And so God, I'm even praying right now for the great people of Tampa, Lord, and the surrounding areas, God, that you would allow us to take hold of this great truth. You know, I believe, and I believe this is the consensus of our elders, that we, as a church family, the Grove Bible Chapel, Tampa, that we are on the cusp of a very exciting season of ministry. We really are. And I'm sure that you guys get that sense. We are standing on the cusp of what I believe is such a very exciting season of ministry. What will the future hold? All right? It is such a great adventure, isn't it? The Christian life. And what will this new normal look like? And what will our future hold here in our community and through this region? What will God have in store? It's so exciting. Let me just say this. We want you to be a part of that. And so this morning, I'm even extending that invitation, and would you have that heart like Samuel to be available to what the Lord would have? And so the question is, what will your involvement look like? What's it going to look like in the future? What will it look like? What will your role be? We need you. We want you to be a part of this. I'm telling you right now, be praying about this. Be praying about it today. Be praying about it this week, and be praying about it this week. Amen? Today, as in right now, Lord, would we even be asking you, what will our role be? Would we have the faith, like Samuel, to pray, speak, for your servant is listening? Now moving on, notice here what the Lord is going to say. Notice here, verse 11, the Lord said to Samuel, now this is the first words that the Lord speaks to Samuel as a prophet. What is he going to say? What is he going to say? Notice there, verse 11. Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone hears will tingle. All right? And so you're maybe thinking, what does that mean? I don't know if that sounds good. I think that sounds bad. Actually, it's not great, because in the Old Testament, tingling ears, every time we see that phrase come up, it's like an especial emphasis on severe judgment. All right? And judgment is coming. Notice here, verse 12. This is a very heavy word. This is serious. This is very sober. All right? Notice there, verse 12. In that day, this is heavy. This is against Samuel's adopted family. In that day, I will carry out against Eli all I have spoken about concerning his house from the very beginning to the end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for his iniquity, which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. All right, so heavy. My goodness, so heavy. God is here basically confirming the message that I referred to that came through the man of God in chapter 2, when a pronouncement of judgment was coming on Eli's sons. And Eli's sons had sinned. They sinned greatly. Sinful men, wicked men. My goodness, it's almost like they turned the house of the Lord into a brothel. It's terrible. And Eli failed to restrain them. Verse 14, therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering forever. And that's young Samuel's message that he now needs to bring to Eli. You see, Eli let his sons get away with all kinds of wickedness. Rather than obeying God and dealing harshly with his sons, Eli just let them go. And God here is basically saying, it's too late. It's too late. The opportunity for repentance, it's gone. Get ready for the heavy hand of judgment. And so I know we have a bunch of students with us, and we're so glad that you tune in, week out with your families. My goodness, it's so great to have you a part of this. If I could, let me just speak for a moment to your parents, all right? Especially the fathers, all right, dads? If I could speak to the men of the Grove Bible Chapel here in Tampa, let me just say this. If you desire to demonstrate biblical love to your sons and daughters, then here's the thing. Biblical discipline must be a part of that. For our church family, for our families, for our culture, for our community's sake, All right, a lot is riding on this. It would be greatly benefited if we as fathers and parents were disciplining our children God's way. All right? And you can almost see the looking around in our culture and our society, even throughout Tampa today, throughout Florida, throughout our nation. You see what happens when the family gets out of control. A lot of the times it's because children haven't been raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You know, Eli's responsibility was to restrain his sons, not only because he was their father, but think about it, these boys were now adults. They're no longer little kids. They're grown men, and they're actually Eli's co-workers. Eli's the high priest. His sons were priests serving in the house of the Lord. Eli's main responsibility to restrain his sons was as their boss, because he was high priest, but that didn't happen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, Eli's sons were not little kids. That ship had sailed. They're grown men now, out of control. He missed his opportunity. His sons grew up, and evidently they did not fear the Lord. You know, that's one of the greatest lessons that we can impart to our children. One of my favorite books in the Old Testament is the book of Proverbs. My wife, Gretel, and I, we have three children. Most of you have met them or have at least seen them. I have a 9-year-old son, Elijah. I have a 9-year-old daughter. Her name is Elisa. And I have a 6-year-old little daughter. Her name is Elena. So 2 9-year-olds and a 6-year-old. And so maybe you're thinking, wow, Jason, I didn't know that you guys had twins. We don't, all right? So that makes my wife a saint. And I guess that I'm a sinner, saved by God's grace. 2 children born in the same year. We are very, very, very busy in our home. And the book of Proverbs, I'm telling you, it's so rich. It's been such a blessing to us and other parents for generations. You see, Eli's 2 sons desperately needed the wisdom and instruction that is found generously in the book of Proverbs. And based on the fruit of their lives, which you can read about, and I invite you to do so, it appears that they would have benefited greatly from that. But lest we judge Eli too harshly, the book of Proverbs wasn't around yet. And so for our benefit, let me just share a few proverbs as it relates to the training up of children. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, this is so rich. Listen up, children. Listen up, kids. Listen up, students. Listen up, mom and dads. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. Isn't it true? Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is what? Is stupid. It's true. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so the parents' job, our job, Eli's job, is to train up your children in the way that they should go. Proverbs 22, verse 15, it says, foolishness, folly, it's bound up in the heart of a child. So true, isn't it? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. And the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 29, verse 17, correct your son, correct him, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. You see, that's a word that Eli needed to apply. And maybe for some of us, that's a word that we need to apply in our homes. Now here's the thing. As important as correction is, we as parents, especially dads, we need to understand that we must be careful not to provoke our children in the process. We must not do that because it's very easy to do so. For example, it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training of righteousness and admonition in the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, it adds, lest they become discouraged. And so in other words, discipline in all its respects, both the positive and the negative, the physical and the verbal, should be applied, but not be applied abusively, but in a way that encourages the child to become the person that God designed them to be. That's the point. We are also always to lean towards Christ in that process. That's what it's all about. Correction is about godliness. Correction is always gospel leaning. That's key. That takes so much wisdom on the side of the mother and the father, or the grandparent, or the church family. And so let me just say this, and then we'll continue on to verse 15. If you're looking to grow in this area as it relates to parenting, as it relates to training up your children in the way that they should go, if you're looking for wisdom in this area, let me just say this. I have found Pastor Kurt and Miss Julie so wise and so helpful in this area. As a church, we've been blessed greatly. And I would also add that Dan and Kevin are elders that pastor so well. They, too, have a lot to offer. And their wives, Terry and Heather, fantastic. They could bless your heart. And so anytime they talk about these subjects, I would just invite you to be quiet, to take notes, and to listen. And with God's help, would we take heed to the word of the Lord? Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for them. And so why don't we continue on? Let's move on to verse 15, my last point this morning. As a reminder, my first point was nothing is worse than not hearing from God. Second point is nothing is better than discerning God's word. Now, here's my third and final point. It's this: nothing is more important than sharing his message. Nothing is more important than that, than sharing his message. Now, we're going to see what Samuel does. Verse 15, so Samuel lay down until morning. He already received the word of the Lord. What's he going to do with the word of the Lord? And then he opened the house of the Lord. That was probably one of Samuel's duties. And then notice, but Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. I mean, totally understandable, right? He's got a heavy word he's got to give. Verse 16, then Eli called Samuel, and Eli said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. And in a lot of ways, don't you think this? I think that, like, Eli got a second chance with Samuel. Like, maybe he didn't do a great job. It appears that he didn't do a great job with his first two sons. And it almost seems like God in his grace is giving Eli a second shot here. Eli did a better job of raising Samuel, certainly, than he did with his first two boys. Verse 17, and then he said, what is the word that he has spoken to you? And I love Eli's willingness to receive it, because he knows something has been communicated. Please do not hide it from me. May God do also to you and more also if you hide anything from me, all the words that he has spoken to you. And the truth is, I believe that Eli actually has a pretty good idea of what the message of God was. And so kindly he takes the initiative. He comes to young Samuel, the boy, and he says, please tell me, don't leave anything out. Don't be afraid. I want to know what the Lord has said. And now the question is, what will Samuel do with the message? And so what we're seeing here is that nothing is more important than sharing God's message. Nothing is more important than that. And so what does he do? How will he respond? Notice there, verse 18. So Samuel told him everything. Don't you love that? He told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. And so Samuel was completely faithful with the message. And remarkably, and to Eli's credit, he accepts the judgment humbly. You know, when God calls you to ministry, it's a wonderful thing. And so regardless of what that looks like, whether you're a missionary or you're a preacher of the gospel or perhaps you're a small group leader or whatever that is, it's a wonderful thing. But Samuel, he's given a heavy task. It is a word of judgment on his adopted family. Eli is the man that, for all practical purposes, has raised Samuel. Yet Samuel shares the truth of him, and he shares it without apology. For us, church, this is a great example to follow. We too, don't we, have a message to share. And I pray that with God's help, we too could share that message without apology. Here's the takeaway, and this is so practical for churches. This is so practical for pastors. This is so practical for all of us. We need messengers. Would we be the kind of messengers? Me and you, all of us, would we be the kind of messengers that could share the message and not water it down? not cut off the kind of the sharper, harder to hear parts? Would we be faithful with all of the gospel message, the bad news and the good news? You know, we need messengers. We need preachers who preach the word. Thank God that we here at the Grove in Tampa and in Orlando, we have been blessed with faithful messengers. God has been so good to our churches. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of Pastor Kurt. Not all churches are so fortunate. I trust you understand that. Churches need pastors like Paul who do not hesitate to proclaim the whole counsel of God. And then churches need to be like the Bereans who receive the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. A couple more verses and I'm done. Verse 19, thus Samuel grew with the Lord, was with him, let none of his words fail. All Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed by the prophet of the Lord. Everybody knew Samuel was a prophet of the Lord. Then verse 21, and the Lord appeared again at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So good. Love it. Such a great passage. Let's close there. Why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles and we'll wrap up there. And as we do, I simply want to ask you one more time. What is God saying to you today through His Word? And I think the invitation is very clear. Would we, like Samuel, have ears to hear? And could we say from our hearts, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening? Do you have an open line of communication with God? Is your signal strength strong? You know, maybe in recent days you've been aware of the voice of God. Maybe it's through providence. Maybe it's through his scriptures. Maybe it's through messengers like myself proclaiming the word of the Lord. And you sense that God is speaking. But is there a willingness to receive and then act on what you've heard? That's the question. Today there's an opportunity for us to really lay before the altar of God and really from our hearts say, speak, O Lord, your servant hears. God, I'm listening. God, there's a willingness. God, what would you say? And so I'd love to pray for us as we take these things to heart. Can we do that together? Father in heaven, God, thank you for this. Thank you for what you're doing in this church, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for its leaders. Thank you for its members. Thank you for the many men and women and children that are getting connected each and every week. And thank you, Lord, for what you have in store in the days and the weeks, and I pray years and decades ahead. God, we sense that we are on the cusp of something great. It's such an exciting adventure. What will the future hold? Our prayer today is, God, that we could play a part of that. God, what will our role be? How can we serve? I pray that our church family here could have that attentiveness of Samuel and that readiness just to get up and how can we help and how can we serve and what can we do? Would there be that same faith and courage to say, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. God, we understand that your scriptures say that if we hear your voice, that we should not harden our hearts. And so today, would we have that same heart attitude as Samuel? That's our prayer. That's our hope. In Jesus' good name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, church. Know that you are loved.